Our message has been straightforward and simple, and it's true. The border is closed. We are expelling families, we are expelling single adults, and we've made a decision that we will not expel young, vulnerable children. I think we are executing on our plans, and quite frankly, when we are finished doing so, the American public will look back on this and say we secured our border and we upheld our values and our principles as a nation.
I mean, if this is what success looks like, I hate to imagine what failure looks like. That is DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas talking on all the channels yesterday. He was all over the place yesterday talking about this border. Don't call it a crisis. Joining us now, we have Representative Matt Gaetz, our congressman for U.S. House District 1. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. And listening to that quote, you just hear the dangerous policy that emanates from it. Like, if you say unaccompanied minors get to stay no matter what, then people are going to send their unaccompanied minors. It's sort of like if you tell people that if you show up to the border with a kid, you're going to be treated differently. More people are going to show up with a kid, whether it's theirs or not, whether it's bought, sold, rented or not. And what we have on the border is absolutely a crisis. Let me just break down one data point that I'm concerned about. We are now encountering almost 600 unaccompanied minors every single day at the border.
Wow.
And that compounds very quickly because the paperwork, the bureaucratic strain on the system, the just amount of Border Patrol human activity to process and manage the crisis of one unaccompanied minor at the border, and then you start to get hundreds every day, and it's growing very, very rapidly. So we're seeing growth in all categories, but the growth in unaccompanied minors really problematic.
Well, and you know, as we all know, the pictures of, and I put this in air quotes, kids in cages that were so prevalent a couple of years ago, I mean, the kids are being kept in the same facilities, unless I'm mistaken. We just don't have the photos around as much, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're building new facilities, right? They're taking money that we wanted to use for the wall, border security, technology, surveillance, and they're converting those into processing centers for people to show up and then have their catch-and-release experience. Trump, the magic of the Trump immigration policy was that we were able to repatriate people in safe third countries, and we could have their asylum claims processed without them being in the United States. That's what brought the flow, from, 60,000-70,000 a month down to, 20% of that toward the end of the Trump presidency. Now, just based on the trafficking routes that are being set up and the early numbers we're getting, it's not going to be long before we're, close to 100,000 a month that we're encountering or apprehending at the border. The tragedy is, like, this isn't something that's unsolvable, right?
Right.
If you reform the asylum system, do the border security, you actually can solve this problem.
Well, of course, conservatives have long said control the border first, then reform. And Democrats obviously want to try to do it, if at all, in the other direction. But look, you build the wall or you can build welcome centers. But, you got to pick one or the other, and we're going the other way. Hey, I wanted to add, just so I understand this particular problem, because I've been trying to wrap my brain around this, like, what is the path? What is the plan of people who send their 16-year-old? In my mind, it's get the 16-year-old in, get them on a path to citizenship, get them to be citizens, and then they can bring the family. Am I wrong? Is that the plan?
That's exactly right. And the scary part is the role the cartels play on both sides of the border. Oftentimes, the children are not just being sent, and wherever they end up is wherever they end up. Oftentimes, the kids are told who to say a family member or a contact is in the United States. And oftentimes, the U.S. government is delivering these children right into the arms of cartels that exploit them. And in a way, the U.S. government has become the biggest human trafficker in the world because we're collecting these kids or other people at the border and then doing the cartels' work for them of moving those people into positions of exploitation. One other note, Joe Biden gave a statement that really troubled me about the border. He said, "Don't come now, wait until we get the system set up." And I want to be very clear, there's no system that should be extracting, 3% of the population of El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, you know, every month or two, and bringing those people into the United States. I think it's unrealistic to assume that these, you know, tens of thousands of people every month from the Northern Triangle can come into our country even legally. That doesn't seem right to me.
I have a hard time with this topic of border security and immigration because I just can't explain. I hate when I cannot explain why the other side does what it does or thinks what it thinks. Do you understand, or can you maybe shed some light on why are the Democrats so tone deaf on border security and building a wall? It obviously works. It obviously worked, and it is obviously failing to not do it now. Why is it they don't get it or they don't want to get it?
At the end of the day, it's about voting. I mean, they want to expand the franchise, and they want to do it without the rigors and understanding of U.S. citizenship. Because in many of these states now, they're eroding the ID requirements so that it's easier for people who are not legally in our country to vote. The other thing is that, like, the number one demographic where Republicans gained ground in the 2020 election was with Hispanics. And so Democrats believe that this policy on the border might help them recapture that ground. I actually think there's something to the fact that, like, Donald Trump built the wall. Everybody called him a racist, and he got more Hispanic votes than John McCain, mm-hmm. who offered amnesty. There might be something there.
Yeah, no, and obviously with what we know here in Florida, in South Florida, the Hispanic vote does not go to the Democrats, and that's because they came here for freedom and they understand our system, and we appreciate that. One thing I definitely want to take a second and promote, you and I are going to be spending more time together next week from 8 to 9. We're actually going to be doing a full one-hour call-in, town hall, text, and call and talk to your congressman, right?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Love getting the questions from listeners, and it's just part of the struggle as we're getting people vaccinated. I'm hoping this is the last time I have to substitute a radio town hall for a live town hall, but you do those too. The great thing about 1620 is whether it's just on the radio or live and in person, you guys have got the capability to show up and do it. So this might be the last one with just our small group in the studio. And soon we'll be back out with our larger gatherings as the vaccination rate goes up.
Absolutely. And I remember the one we did out at the beach. We could do one maybe at Bruce Beach here in town until the bridges reopen or something like that. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to be able to do one in person with folks. It's just different, and it's better. Matt Gaetz is our congressman, Northwest Florida, District 1. Matt, thanks so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again. Again, that's going to be a little different time frame, though, next week from 8 to 9. Thanks so much, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew.